Ethics are a system of rules for regulating the actions and manners of people in society. That's the general definition of ethics. Now, the specific ethics that we're talking about are Christian ethics. And in the sense of Christian ethics, they are a system of biblical rules regulating the actions and manners of people as taught in the Bible. This country originally was founded on the Judeo-Christian ethics, ethics that are found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Tragically, they've gotten far away from that. But let's look at the different areas in Hebrews chapter 13 that we have studied in relationship to ethics. Number one, we looked at the ethics of brotherly love. That's the ethics that we have in relationship to for our care for other human beings. The next thing we looked at was the ethics of sexual love, the ethics of sexual love, because the Bible does determine what those values and principles should be in relationship to sexual love. And then we looked at the ethics of money and possessions. The ethics of money and possession. This week, we're going to be looking at the ethics relating to you and your pastor, your pastors, plural. And I've already read to you the three verses we'll be looking at. The key words are remember. You're to remember the pastor. You're to obey your pastor. You're to salute your pastor. Now, it's somewhat difficult, since I am your pastor, to lay out before you what this means, but nonetheless, I don't shy away from things when they come to me in the Word of God, and we're coming across this in our study. So we are going to just deal with it as we should deal with it from the aspect of the Word of God, ethics relating to you and how you relate to your pastor. So it says in verse 7, reading it once again, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, it says, considering the end of your conversation, the end of your behavior. Whether or not you have given any thought to it, as the under-shepherd of the flock, I have an important task, and that important task for me as a pastor is, number one, to lead you spiritually, to feed you spiritually, and to guard you spiritually. I take those responsibilities very, very seriously. And the author charges or tells you, entreats you, to remember your preacher. Now, it is true that there are some who say this is talking about past preachers, but I think that we're talking about your preachers current and past who have taught you. And the word remember is an important little word. It means to be mindful of, or as I was reading in one of my Greek lexicons, it means to think of and feel for a person. I don't think that very few of you, my family are some, but very few of you know the challenges and the trials that face pastors. To be sure, there are blessings, but there are also great burdens, and the responsibilities are very heavy. I remember years ago, a man in the church and his wife, they came into the church. They shared their testimony of the church because the pastor does his very best to screen people who are coming into the membership of First Baptist Church, because churches are only to be made up of born-again believers, believers who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and want to live for them. And the man had given his testimony and all that sort of thing, and I remember confronting him on an issue, and then I got a long letter from him. He says, the fact of the matter is I just joined the church for my wife. My testimony is really a lie. I don't believe any of that junk. That's a great burden to me. Number one, that I was deceived, but number two, this man who had children is unless he comes to know Christ, he is lost for all of eternity. And that's a great burden. And another great burden, people make appointments with you to come in and to talk with you and ask for a pastor's advice. I pray over that and open and share the word of God with them. Then they promptly go away and they do nothing with it. They do nothing with it. That is a great, great burden. And then at times there are wonderful blessings when people encourage your heart with their service for the Lord and the testimonies that they have. But to be sure, I would ask you to remember your pastors. And by that I mean remember us by supporting us in prayer. If you have a daily prayer list, please put us and our families on your daily prayer list. Sometimes we get really discouraged. Sometimes we get really down and we look at people who should be growing spiritually and they're stunted in their growth, and it just makes our heart ache. You wonder why in all the preaching, and when somebody comes into counsel with me and they ask me a question, and I've just completed a 6-week series on the same thing, problem is they either weren't listening or they weren't in church to hear it. And so I would ask you to remember us in prayer. People who could really be of value to the cause of Christ. They know Jesus Christ and you're sure of it and all this kind of stuff, but then they just aren't involved with any frequency in the church. Not only can you remember us in prayer, but you can remember us in your attendance. Now, believe me, I don't prepare Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and then during the year teach one or two classes, at least 5 or 6 things that I have to prepare. I don't do that merely for my own benefit. I am responsible to lead you. I am responsible to feed you. I am responsible to guard you. And I prepare my messages with those thoughts in mind because I take my responsibility seriously. And if you are to get what I am giving you and what I'm trying to prepare you to face the world with, the flesh with, and the devil with, you can't be absentee. Now, I know that some of you who aren't here because of serious job-related things, you listen to those things that we have up on sermon audio, and I appreciate that. But you can remember us with your prayers, and you can encourage us and remember us with your attendance. You can remember us by being involved, whether it's serving in some area, some aspect, singing in the choir, teaching, junior church, on visitation, other areas. That's an encouragement to us. In order for a church to discharge its responsibility, we need born-again people involved. And again, the purpose for all the preaching and the teaching is to prepare you for battle. In fact, we'll talk about that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Who have spoken unto you the word of God?" You know, a pastor's obligation is to study this book and to rightly divide the word of truth. Take it seriously. Study it well. And that's what I'm supposed to do. That's my responsibility. And you also have a responsibility. Let's look again at 13:7. It says, "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." And then it says this, "whose faith follow, considering the end of your conversation." You know, when a pastor is doing what he's supposed to do. What believers are supposed to do is mimic or imitate that pastor. That's a solid biblical principle. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Be followers of me as I also am of Christ." I don't want you to follow my bad stuff. I certainly have my faults. But I do want you to follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I try and model Christian living before you, not just in Sunday morning, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I tell you about how that early in the morning, my wife and I have our prayer time together. My wife and I get into the Word of God. Why do I do that? Because I'm bragging not on your life. One day this week, I did the prayer thing and missed the Bible reading thing. I'm not perfect in that, but I tell you that because you know what? Sometime during the day, you ought to be in the Word of God. Sometime during the day, you need to be in prayer. If you listen to what I say as well, you'll see that I appreciate my wife. I do not believe that you've ever heard me cut down my wife in the things that I say here and the things that I teach you. Is my wife perfect? No, she's not. But she does her very best to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I appreciate her. And husbands ought to love their wives, and husbands ought to appreciate their wives. And husbands ought not to be, when they're with the boys, talk about the shortcoming of their wives and all the other things that are going on there, for those of you who are married. But on purpose, I am trying to model something before you that I believe that you should imitate in me. Anybody can tell me, I know I'm not a great soloist, but I love to sing the songs of the faith, friends. When I sing up here, I'm excited about singing and I'm thinking about the words. I try and model that and I'll hum them and sing them through, through the week and in various times. And I try and tell you how I incorporate those things in my times of encouragement. I tell you about my shortcomings and how you deal with those shortcomings. Because what I want you to do is to be able to see somebody who seeks to rightly divide the word of truth, share that truth with you, and how that you can put those things into practice. Because I do want you to follow me as I follow Jesus. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 15 and 16. It says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, whereof I beseech you, be ye followers of me." The Apostle Paul had led many of them to the Lord Jesus Christ and built them up in the faith. I've been here 37 years. There's a lot of you who have been here for a good portion of those 37 years. And follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another passage of Scripture that I want you to look at, and that is Philippians 3:17. "Brothers, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which so walk as ye have us for an example." There's other people who the Apostle Paul had been an example to, and they were following his pattern. They were, I go out on Thursday evenings and knock on doors. That's not the only time I make visits, but, we just need to be testifying to the gospel wherever we go. Now, one of the things I am not saying to you in relationship to following me, I remember in Bible college, our president was Dr. Wilbert Welch, and he used to carry his Bible like this close to him, and he would walk with little short steps and go back and forth. I'm not talking about imitating superficial things. You don't need to comb your hair like I comb my hair. In Pastor Longstein's case, that's never going to happen. But anyway, you know what? I mean, you don't need to wear cowboy boots. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, you know. I'm not talking about superficial things at all. I'm talking about spiritual things. But that's becoming more and more of a challenge today. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, just turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we'll go to another one in a little bit. 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of a double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And so you folks pay me well, but I do labor in the word and doctrine because I want to share with you the truth of God's word. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 through 5. Here's the problem that we're facing today. It says this, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Increasingly today, we have people who are heaping to themselves teachers people who have itching ears. And they don't really want sound preaching and sound doctrine. You obviously do because you're here. But so, number one, remember your pastor. Remember us in prayer. Remember to support us in your attendance. Remember to support us by your involvement in the church. But then verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 13. Here's what it says in Hebrews 13:17. Some people don't like this, but here's what it says. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'll give you both sides of the coin here. There are some preachers who use this verse to browbeat the members of their church to obey and submit to them in matters of opinion. I know of one pastor who thought he had more clout than a husband in a home. That's utter foolishness. And before they would buy a car or anything, he had taught them that they needed to come and talk to them, and he had asked them about their tithing and their giving and all that kind of stuff. And some preachers use this verse wrongly, and some people who are not even following biblical principles. I just think of a situation that I know is kind of close to me, where the preacher, without any impetus from the congregation, just changed the constitution and did away with all the deacons. Where is that? Where is that? It's not in the Word of God. There's the office of deacons in the Word of God. And he used, I don't know whether he did or not, but the preachers who usually do stuff like that will turn to Psalm 105, verse 15, and say, "Touch not God's anointed!" I'll just tell you, there's hirelings and there's shepherds who care for the sheep. If a preacher isn't following the Word of God, you know what? You can spout off all those things that you want, but you don't. Acts 5:29 says we ought to obey God what? Rather than men. You ought to obey God rather than men. Pastors are to be the shepherds. They are to be leaders. They're not to be dictators. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of ready mind. And then look at this, neither being lords over God's heritage, but, here it is again, being in samples or examples to the flock. Now, pastors are called, and this is where sometimes people really kick up, but pastors are called to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. This does not tend to lend itself to popularity. From time to time, we've had to exercise discipline in First Baptist Church, and that isn't fun for the pastor. It's never fun to, quote, have to spank somebody. It's never fun to have to exercise church discipline because somebody refused to repent or go the right way. And there's been occasion where people get really upset with me when we do that, and sometimes they leave the church. But that is one of the things that, just like a father is supposed to do, so the under-shepherd of the church is required to do that. Here's the point, though. When a preacher is in the will of God, and when the preacher is teaching the word of God, the people should obey and submit him because they watch for their souls. When I tell you of the danger of the emergent church, when I tell you about the dangers of the false prophets of the day like Joel Osteen, when I tell you of the current trends of the day and warn you of the things that are on television, and when I lay out clearly before you why same-sex marriage is not biblical, it's not right, when it's not proper, when I lay out all those things, I am watching for your soul. And I want to warn you so you won't be deceived. I want to arm you for the spiritual warfare that you are facing. I want to warn you about the wolves in sheep's clothing. I want to protect you from your adversary, the devil. I want to protect you from your three great enemies. The world, that's out there. The flesh, that's in there. And that's the devil. So when I preach, you know it. If you sit under here, you get very few fluffy messages here. There's not much cotton candy distributed here. The point is this. When the preacher is doing what he ought to do, then you need to obey and you need to submit to that preacher. Why? I got to give account for you. It's like I have to give account for my wife and family. You're my family. God has said Christ is the head of this church, but buddy, December of 1979... they're yours. You better take care of them. And so when I come to you and say, I don't think that's a very good thing, and here's why from the scripture, you know what? You ought to listen. Come in to do counseling with me, and I lay that things out. So many people come in for biblical counseling, and what they want, they've taken 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 years to make their life all into knots. And they want me to give them a spiritual pill that really doesn't take any effort. And they want to take that spiritual pill and poof! Everything is all right. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. I watch for your soul. I'm trying to arm you for the spiritual warfare that you face. See, the whole issue is leadership. If the pastor is shepherding the sheep, he's leading them, feeding them, and guarding them, the members should be loyal to him. The members should obey him. The members should submit to him. You can like it, you can lump it, but that's what the word is saying here. There are two primary reasons that churches fail. There are two primary reasons that churches go liberal. There are two primary reasons that churches dissolve. And the first one is pastors who do not lead. If a pastor is dilatory, what's dilatory? Let's just say negligent. If a pastor is dilatory, there is reason for alarm. And if he's dilatory and not doing what he should do, not putting the time in that he should put in, studying and doing those type of things, then they can't expect that the people are going to follow them. Too many churches find themselves decimated because pastors didn't lead well. They didn't live up to biblical expectations. They didn't follow biblical principles, but tried to install their preferences. One of the reasons they fail, pastors who don't lead well, but you don't dare leave off the second one. The second reason churches fail is lack of congregational support. I can tell you this. All the leadership in the world can't lead people who won't follow. Leaders must lead well, but the people need to follow well too. When people will not follow a good pastor, let me just tell you, there's no joy in the ministry, but there's grief. I've had some times of serious grief. I had some times of crying out to the Lord, because I've been so grieved over situations and issues and marriages that are dissolving and people who are stubborn, and it is no fun. It is a grief. Note the phrase in verse 17. It says, "And they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief." The word translated grief is stenazo. It means to groan. It means to sigh. And you groan and you sigh because at that point you're involved in a thankless task and you're unappreciative and you've laid things out biblically and they do not listen. That's when it becomes a pit to be a pastor. There have been times where I have groaned. The final phrase in verse 17 says this. It says, "For that is unprofitable for you." Here's the idea. What the writer of Hebrews, and I don't know who it was, what the writer of Hebrews is saying, for your own sakes, you should make the work of your pastor who rules you easy and joyful, for otherwise it cannot profit you. Your unwillingness to listen means that you're rebelling against their teachings. And if their teachings are biblical, do you know what it really means? It means you're rebelling against God. That's what it means. And when you're rebelling against God, that can do you no good, regardless of who you are. I can't tell you how many times And I start thinking about names. I close my eyes, got to open them, because backslidden Christians who know where they should be is such a grief. They've grown up in the church. They've sat in the church. They know the truth. And they're like Demas. They're like Demas. Having loved this present world, and they're off to Thessalonica. There's so many people who've sat under the preaching and teaching here. And so much of the time they're in Thessalonica. Well, see them every third or fourth month or something like that. For sure Christmas or Easter. Otherwise, they're off to Thessalonica. That does grieve me, by the way. That does grieve me. But then I think of some of the people who serve so diligently here. What keeps me going on? Be not weary in well-doing. I don't know how many times I've said that to myself. Be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. I look at people who are so faithful. You can count on them through thick and through thin. If they say they're going to do something, they're going to do something. They're self-starters. They go the extra mile. They get the job done. And then I say, hallelujah! Because I refuse to look at my glasses half empty. That's what's kept me going for all these years. Praising God for the ones who diligently serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who consistently are here, who keep on keeping on for the Lord through thick and through thin. And I will say to you publicly, thank you. Thank you. I got people I can give jobs, and I know that it's going to get, I don't have to nursemaid them. I don't have to stick a bottle in their mouth. I give them the direction. If they have a problem, they come and ask me. Otherwise, they let it go. Let's move to the last one. So not only are you to remember your pastor and to obey your pastor, you're to salute your pastor. So everybody ready? Here we go. No, that's not what it means. Salute. All right. Sir, yes, sir. Well, never mind. Let's not go back there. Salute them that have the rule over you. See, I want you to know in each one, God has given me the authority over you. But it's just like with bratty kids. How do you deal with bratty kids? It's so much right on cue, sister. Back to the solution. Salute them that have rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you. Let me put it in the language of our day. The author of Hebrews is saying, warmly greet all the pastors and the other believers. The believers of Italy send their greetings as well. Warm greetings, my friends. Listen to me. Warm greetings serve the purpose of letting your pastor know that you care about him and that you appreciate him. And I can tell you, the good handshakes that I see when I'm walking the hall and people who say a word of encouragement, that does encourage and lift up a pastor. It does. Well, ethics relating to your pastor. Remember your pastor, obey your pastor, salute your pastor. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in a real sense, your leader is the devil. And the devil does have a plan for your life. He does. His plan for your life is hell. My visitation crew were going door to door, and we came to a young man who was sitting in the car, just kind of sitting there, his eyes kind of glazed over. And we walked up to him and started talking with him and asked if we could share with him. He says, "Oh, well, I am an atheist." And I said, "Oh, what has led you to that decision?" "Well," he says, "I follow science." Well, I said, "Oh, interesting." I said, "Well, then how do you account for the second law of thermodynamics?" I says, "For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, there had to be an original cause. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He says, "Oh, well, I'm not a scientist." But we were able to share with him the gospel. And I'm thinking the whole time, and the other people on the team are praying and sharing as well. And he wasn't animositous towards us. He was very open towards us. But all I could think of, "Lord, find a crack for the word of God to get in there, because this young man who is waxing eloquent about being an atheist, but then he's maybe an agnostic, but I think he just wanted to be cool." You can be any of those or nothing, but if you don't come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to end up in a very literal hell. And myself and the girls were able to share their testimonies and our service for the Lord. And I'm telling you here, you can be in a Baptist church, but you very easily could go to hell. Because the truth of the matter is that attending a Baptist church, or even being a Baptist, like that one fellow I told you about earlier, that isn't what gets you to heaven. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." It's a narrow way, friends. In fact, it's not just a narrow way, it's the only way. So if you've never called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, I would urge you to do it this morning.